This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 298 for property ID 961-58578. The property address is 3872 U Street, Vancouver. The property is owned by American Homes for Rent Properties 3 LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office and no one present from the appellant. The appellant submitted two comparable sales, property ID 13259140, sold for $509,900 in September 2023, and property ID 765161112, which sold for $387,300 in May 2023. The assessor's evidence included three comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 58 for property ID 12561400. The property is owned by Brian and Haley Gem. Board members present by video conference are John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Brian here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Yep, I've done this, yeah.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth? Under penalty for perjury.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
No, the appeal's pretty clear and concise. I've done this for multiple years where it's a tough property to assess the value of because we're right near the river and nearby properties have a great river view. But our property is just a little bit different because it's on the north side of the railroad tracks that obstructs our view. And so I believe that the assessor values our property as similar to the one with a significant limited view of the Columbia River. However, it's not taking into account the train track that obstruct when the train goes by and block our view. And so it's a combination of the train tracks as well as the safety net, because the north side of our property is adjacent to SR-14 and Evergreen Highway. And so just in general, it's a much different property than it gets assessed at. And then additionally, this year we've done an appraisal or a rent appraisal to compare different houses because we were thinking about renting it out. And that appraisal showed multiple properties that were valued much less than what the appraiser lists the property at. And so I submitted that for some evidence, which I believe the average mean of those three appraised houses is $718,000, which is much more likely what ours should be, around the $750,000 mark.
You have a private driveway access into that property from SR-14 or from the old Evergreen Highway. How do you get to your property?
Yeah, it's a gravel driveway, probably about 100 feet.
Yeah. It comes down off SR-14, that's correct?
No, it comes down off of Evergreen Highway or Southwest Evergreen when they readdressed it, yeah.
Yeah. And then the railroad is below you, so you don't have to cross the railroad, do you?
No. We're on the north side of the railroad, correct.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really have any other questions.
Okay, is there anything else?
I don't have any other questions. Anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, well, yeah, actually, last year I did this, and the assessor posted a picture from Evergreen Highway displaying the view that I thought was a very misleading photo because it was taken above our house and from our neighbor's property, honestly. And it's a significant steep driveway that we have down to our house from Evergreen Highway. So if that's still in the evidence, it kind of takes a little bit of realizing that that's not our view, which, again, I was disappointed at. It's pretty misleading and felt like unethical to use that angle of a photo to have evidence for our view. So, again, it's pretty clear and concise that you come off the highway down to our property, which is directly next to the railroad tracks, which obstruct our view.
Okay.
So with that, I'd like to conclude.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us involves the late filing good cause request petitions. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The good cause request we're looking at right now is from PAC Trust, submitted by Maria Garnett, the vice president of PAC Trust. These are four properties, all for Columbia Tech Center, LLC, owned by PAC Trust, but the property owner is Columbia Tech Center. The tax parcels are 176602000, 986030485, and 176611025, and 176611030. All of these were submitted under the good cause request reason G, that a notice of value was not received and the property values did not change from the previous year. Each petition was submitted with a copy of the Property Information Center that does confirm that no value was changed from each year and no notice of value was issued. I will turn it over to you all.
Okay, I think it meets the criteria and we should do it. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay,
I'm in agreement.
All right, that concludes our late files. Thank you all so much. This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 281 for property ID 986043894. The property is owned by Ryan and Allison Mackinson. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Ryan here for the appellant. If you can please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. And I'm going to ask that, we are familiar with this property situation, the situation with that building, but tell us where you are in the status of that. I think you have some lawsuit or some action against the property owners, is that correct?
That is correct. So there is active litigation that is being headed up on my neighbor. To my understanding, we have been awarded a positive judgment against the property owner. He did install, this was after we took our, so we took our sound testing after he installed a fence around the 28 tons of HVAC units that are there. Those were emitting more noise than is even with the fence that he put in than is allowed by the Washington Department of Energy, I believe, their decibel rating. So we commissioned a noise study along each of the three properties to on that side. So we have been awarded a positive, judgment by the courts. What we haven't, they haven't finished the entire process because they're still trying to, I think, sort out legal fees and a lot of the other things that have had to happen. I mean, everything from commissioning the noise study to the lawyers that we collectively had to hire to go after the building owner to come into compliance with the noise piece of it. But even after the noise piece is abated, I would still argue that this property is an impaired property based on the sheer magnitude of that building that overshadows. I mean, that is 34 feet above the top of my property line, which is about another 20 feet from the base. So it's the equivalent of having about a 50-foot structure in the back. And part of this appeal and what I was just trying to highlight is we were successful last year in kind of pleading our case. That eventual property tax number that we were allocated by the Board of Equalization was not taken into account for the next year. And so all I'm asking for is a commensurate raise based on the previous award in conjunction with the average raise that happened in the area, in the neighborhood specifically.
So did you share any of this information with the assessor's office, the noise study, the court findings, any of that? Did you?
I know that my neighbor did, Steve and Karen Smith of the adjoining property, but I don't have access to a lot of that documentation. I just get text updates from him because we're all part of the same legal party.
I just wondered, did you read the assessor's response to your appeal?
I did read, but it didn't, some of the response, they took picture, they had old pictures of like, of the HVAC unit, and the new pictures with the fence didn't abate any of the noise.
I wondered what you thought about this, that an environmental safety chart from Yale, which identifies 60 to 70 decibels to be in the range of normal conversation. The petitioner stated it was from the source, which is the unit itself, which by aerial distance mapping is at minimum 75 feet from the subject exterior walls. The petitioner has not provided any market data to substantiate the support for an adjustment. I mean, do you have any response to any of that? I just wondered.
Well, I mean, the noise study that we commissioned through, I believe the company name was Listen Acoustics, did verify that all of the sound readings from each of our respective properties fell outside of the Department of Energy guidelines. And so, you know, that was that study was about a $3,600 noise study that we commissioned over.
What's the guideline from the department that you just mentioned?
I'd have to look at the exact statute, but I know that there's guidelines for both daytime and nighttime noise that is emitted from the units themselves. And I don't remember the exact decibel reading. I do know that they fell outside of the Department of Energy guidelines. I think based on the thousands of noise samples that were taken, they fell outside of the guidelines 93% of the time, I believe was the number.
Okay, I just wondered where they're talking about some study from Yale that they got. I don't know. I just wondered if you compared the studies or if you...
I didn't compare the studies. I think a lot of the data that we were going off was based on the decibel level generated was the equivalent of having a 4-lane freeway in your backyard. I mean, when I go out there now, especially when the weather is cold, those units are on 24 hours a day trying to keep that building heated, right? And so it just depends on the season and the time. But yeah, we did do the noise study last year. I believe it was the January timeframe, so over a year ago.
I have a question on a lot of this stuff. Most of this stuff comes down to a noise and whatever else, lighting or whatever. Have you actually had any kind of a an appraisal of the real estate by a professional that might be able to actually show market reaction to that. We know that you have a bad thing there with the noise and all, but we don't see any sales or anything that would show us a comparison, say, of a property like yours and then a property like yours without that noise that you could make a value adjustment on. Have you guys gotten any kind of appraisals on that to do it?
No, and I think Mr. Marks, I think the challenge is finding a property that has the same challenges, right, and commensurate market sales data. You know, we really got put in a super unique, unfortunate unique position in that, you know, when I poured my foundation, I ran up to the top of the hill and I looked and they had poured the foundation. And the reality is the city of Camas didn't notify. I mean, the straw poll that I took from the neighborhood, there was no notification that building had moved from the original site plans, but they were perfectly within their guidelines to do so, to move the building. There was just no public hearing to discuss the actual movement of that building itself from the original site plan. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the challenge is I haven't been able to find a piece of property or a series of properties that are abutted next to a commercial property of that magnitude, because there's not only a visual, you know, a visual impairment, there's the light impairment at night when those lights are on. It looks like my backyard. I might be in a stadium of sorts. And then the noise one is the one that we could really, you know, address or try to address with the cooperation. We tried for about 9 months to cooperate with the property owner prior to the lawsuit to move those, and it was met with good luck. See you in court.
I have one question. Okay. Also, you've looked at the assessor's comps. They provided comparable sales. There's a sale from 9 of 23 for $2,150,000, which is 3525 McMaster. I'm assuming, did they buy that since that building's been there?
That was bought, I believe, prior to that building. And I think the biggest thing is the differential is those properties themselves are on, their building isn't in the backyard, right?
Are they across the street? Is that what they are?
I believe 3525, is that across the street?
I think so because of the numbering. I'm thinking it's the thing. The other one was 3410, which I'm assuming is on your side of the street. So for $2,300,000 in April of 23?
Oh, that's way down on the other end of the court, significantly far away from the building or any visual impairment in that regard. I mean, this is a beautiful neighborhood. I would argue that the lot that unfortunately my wife and I settled on ended up being the worst lot in the entire, I mean, we are smack dab in the middle of that, yeah, of that property, yeah, itself.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions on it.
So. Quickly run me through the calculation that you came up with to get the number.
Sure. So the calculation that I used is I looked at the McMaster neighborhood appraised fair market value, and I looked at the percent increase from 2024 to 2025, and across the neighborhood itself, there was a commensurate raise of 6.28%. And when I looked at it, I was basically saying, okay, if 6.28% is the average, I'm not even asking for the average. I was asking for a commensurate raise of the 2024 fair market value, and an increase of 7.5%, which would bring the proposed value to just under $2 million.
And that's $1,925,000, is that what it is?
It was $1,937,695 based on my calculations. So that was about just over 1% greater than the percent increase of the fair market value in the neighborhood of 6.28%.
Got it.
I mean, I recognize that the property values are going up, but I don't think that changes the impaired nature of my property itself.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions. I think I have.
You enough. Need to get those cypress trees or whatever it is you got back there to grow faster.
I need to be pouring Miracle-Grow and whatever I can do to get those things to grow. But yeah, I mean, I figure in another 5 to 7 years, I hope that I have a wall of green. And that building is a mere, I want to know that it's back there, but not be able to see the activity and the lights and everything that's going on in there. It's a strange city planning methodology to put that much commercial property next to residential. It just, I don't understand it. You know, it's disappointing.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. I mean, and particularly the fact that your home is a very high end home. I mean, it's not a little cracker box. It's
no, and it's nice, you know, it's the single biggest investment of most people in the U.S. And to have that happen during the process, I couldn't even pull the plug on it, you know, because we had already committed to not only the city permit fees and pouring the foundation and everything else. When we looked at it and we said, well, we're in it, so let's just do the best we can and, you know, try to enjoy it. And not, you know, I don't even open in my family room, I don't even open the top window of blinds, because if you do, that's all you see is the building. I keep those lowered so that when I look out, all I see is I see my retaining wall and a little bit of the dirt behind it. But yeah, it's disappointing, but at the end of the day, I'm grateful. My kids love living here, so.
What is the direction of that? If you're looking from your house straight back to that building, what direction is it?
That is, I believe that is due east.
Due east?
Am I right? I don't know. If somebody brings up a map, I'll be. No, okay, no, it's more south. So the one thing that, I mean, the shadow that gets cast by the building on an annual basis, I still get decent sun coverage, but that thing definitely shades part of my yard depending on, you know, the time of year and where the sun goes across.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the building owner is a real peach, let me tell you that. I've got six months of email correspondence with him. He's a really interesting fellow.
All right, okay. I think I have it.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the time. I do appreciate it and appreciate the consideration.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Close the hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 385 for property ID 168-614-000. The property is owned by Leroy and Ramona Pace. Board members present by video conference are John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have, it looks like Ramona, and do we also have Leroy with us?
Yes.
Okay, we have Ramona and Leroy here for the appellants. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. We've went to a couple open houses to compare our home with others and then, you know, looked through, drove around and then went through Redfin and all these things. And when we compare our home to other homes, well, really there's no comparison. With our home, it's just basic, you know, low ceilings. We bought everything from Home Depot. And so I think that, and because our 8 acres is unusable, and we have problems with neighbors, and there are 5 cars and 3 trailers and a tractor right out front, and comments on people that come to visit about the housing development across the road that actually can look right in our front windows, so we have to keep our blinds closed. And then the 4 horses next door and the odor and the flies they bring and the comments guests make when they come visit, I just don't think our home is worth what the assessor is valued it at. I sent you the values of the homes over in Cooper Estates, and we did go to one of the open houses there. And those places are so fancy, the high ceilings, the very expensive accessories. Our house doesn't even compare to those.
Did you take a look at the information that the assessor provided?
Yes.
Do any of those houses compare to yours?
No. I think the assessor, if he would come in our home, he would notice the difference.
I'm looking at him at a picture of the map. Are you right by that, what they call it, Anderson Park?
No.
That's Anderson Park.
You're on Northeast 83rd Street at 184th. Is that correct?
That's 108. We're on the corner of 108. Anderson Park is on 182nd and 83rd Street.
Yeah, so yours should be east of there. Is that correct?
Looks like you've got that map. The map you've got there. That's us there, I think.
Yeah. All right. I see you. According to the map that she pulled up, you're actually not on the street. You're back off on a private or a long driveway. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you have 8 acres.
Yes, 8 acres, and it's classified wetlands, and we can't we can't do anything with it. Our home is located on 2 acres that are cleared.
Okay.
We haven't cleared that much.
I guess 1.5 acres.
Yeah. So, do you have a designation or anything from the county or any place stating that is all wetlands, or is it,
yes,
how do we determine that that's what it really is?
When we first started to build, the Department of Ecology, I think is who it was out here, and they designated and have signs up posting wetlands.
Okay.
And they're the ones that told us that no horses was allowed on the properties, these 3 properties. Mm-hmm. And they told us twice.
All right. I don't have any other questions on it, Dan. Do you?
Is that you're saying that whole all of the acreage is all wetlands, designated wetlands?
Except what we built on, and that was cleared for us when we moved in, and the neighbors the same way. All three of these lots are wetlands or acreages. That's one reason we bought it, because we knew it would be wooded and be left alone and peaceful, which didn't happen.
Nobody left you alone, huh?
No.
Can you pull up the land designation, Allison?
Here's the map of potential wetland presence according to GIS.
Which one is their property? That one, okay.
This one. I don't know why it's not highlighting it, but it's this northmost one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess the wetlands and then the, I don't know, is there a setback from the wetlands too? Must be.
Let's see.
All right, I don't think I have any further questions.
Yeah.
When we first moved in here, we were taxed differently for the amount of acres. I think it was 10 back then. What was it? It was 7, then they changed it to 10 as far as taxes went.
Mm-hmm. Changed what to 10? Isn't it 8 acres?
Yes, ours is 8 acres. I think what they used to give us a tax break because we had wetlands, but then they changed the designation and said that that only applies to people, to lots that are 10 acres or more. And so we're only 8 acres. So they took that tax break away.
Hmm.
That was my understanding.
Seems strange. All right. I think I have it. Anything else you want to add?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 424 for property ID 986-043-896. The property is owned by Betty Peng and Scott Grant. Board members present by video conference are John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Betty here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. You get a written response from us within 30 days, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. Okay. So from the documents that I submitted, I think I just want to prove that the assessor's value should be decreased because my property is impaired. And by impaired, on the basis of noise, light pollution, and non-conforming nature of the giant commercial building that is right next to my house. In terms of the noise pollution, we've actually hired a audio engineer to come out and do measurements, and he measured for 48 hours, and it was found that it was over the state required noise level for residential areas. The noise level when the HVAC system is on, which it is on like basically all of winter and half of summer, is sort of like living next to a giant freeway or a rock quarry. You can definitely hear the noise with all the windows and doors closed inside my house, as evidenced by the noise measurement done by acoustic engineering. In fact, this is such a nuisance that my neighbors, the three of us who are affected, have actually filed a lawsuit last year. And it actually was determined that the commercial building is at fault, and the noise level was deemed excessive, and they are currently ordered by the judge to, and this judgment just came down like a month ago, so I didn't have time to put it into this appeal, but they did side with us saying that the noise level was excessive and that they have maybe plans to move it, but it's not been moved, so as of today. And then also with the light pollution, the lights on the interior and on the exterior of the building are always on, like at every night. And it's very bright, and the building sits above the lots of the residential neighborhood. So it's not just like, oh, well, why can't you just turn off the blinds? Because it's actually sitting like above, and it shines right into our bedroom windows. And even with blackout blinds, you can still see the light. It is quite intense because of the commercial building, the nature of the commercial building. And again, the non-conforming nature of these commercial building, is known to sort of decrease residential property's value because of the non-conforming nature of the building. Because when I'm actually a realtor, so whenever you have residential homes right next to commercial buildings, they do tend to, sell for far less money, and it is considered less desirable to, because commercial buildings tend to be like noisy, are visually unattractive, there's more traffic associated. And for all those reasons, I think that it is fair to say that my property is impaired in such a way. And also I would like to discuss that, basically the key question to ask here is, would a reasonable buyer and seller pay the same price for an impaired residential property that has a documented noise nuisance as for a similar property that was not encumbered by the noise nuisance? And in our opinion, this would clearly not be the case. So various sources suggest that because of the noise impairment, the property would be valued at 10 to 20% less. And this is actually substantiated by a study done in 2008 in the Journal of Regional Sciences, where they studied residential prices for homes that were next to the Atlantic Atlanta Airport, which faced similar noise pollution levels, and those homes sold for 20% less than the other surrounding homes of similar size and nature. Also, I noticed that the residences along my street, McMaster Drive, their increase for value averaged around 6.28%, but my house went up by 17%. So if you were to do sort of like a, like, and my property is like more impaired than the other properties because they don't have the same kind of situation with the noise in the commercial building. So I feel that it is not a fair assessment. That's all. Also, I appealed last year with the state, and you denied the Clark County Board of Equalization actually denied it. But then when I appealed to the state for very similar reasons, they did come and visit my house. And I don't know if it was noted in the thing, but when they saw the inside of the house, they marked it as non-mansion quality. So again, it's my house is a little bit less ornate than I would say some of the neighboring houses. And they also agreed with my, they also basically agreed with my appeal and sort of made the value of the home the same as the previous year. Okay, sorry, okay. Now I'm really finished.
you have that decision from
Yeah, the state? I do. It's right here. I can show you. So here's the, sorry. So this is the new one that they sent me. That said, it says
you have to turn your background off because you have to turn your background off because it's blocking it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, there you go. So it says up here, corrected property tax statement.
For what year?
This is from last year.
So this is for the 2023 year?
Let's see. It says 2024, right? So it was just the previous year that they corrected. And then I also have the letter that they sent me that says they agreed. Oh, here it is. Right here. Yeah, this one right here. It says order of the, let's see. And then at the, it says.
Oh, that's us. That's us.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. This show that it's been corrected. And then I can also show you, I didn't print that one out, but it was in my email, but basically they agreed and they reduced the value to the value that was 1.7. So this is the corrected statement that they sent.
Well, they had to do that. You've appealed to the state, so you haven't heard from the state yet.
Oh, no, not this year, right? So not for the 2025 year, right?
So she did appeal to the state for her 2023 value, and it looks like she stipulated with the assessor's office. I'm looking for that document now, but they stipulated to a value of, it looks like 1.717784. I have it in my spreadsheet, but I'll try and find this state document for you all.
They stipulated the state level to the same value that we did, or what?
Yeah,
I'm pulling it up now. Hold on, I don't want to.
We didn't give her a revised value.
Last year it was sustained.
Okay, got it.
But
okay,
here is,
so the value you asked for this year is the same value as last year, correct?
Right. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so that yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I according to the filings here, you bought that property in November of 21 for yes. $2,060,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and another question, the property that lays behind you that is vacant yet, is that zone commercial industrial something or other? It looks like it ties into that industrial park.
Yes, so. That's right. There are three large commercial pads surrounding my property. Yeah, so I get it on the left, right behind me, and like at the front of the gate, which is like closest to my house on the side of the street. Yeah, so... Right. So eventually there will be another commercial building that is built right behind my house. And also, that is also people, you know, find that undesirable. It's like a threat, an imminent threat.
Right. Okay.
All right. I got it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any other questions on it. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You'll hear from us within 30 days. I think we have the picture. Okay.
Okay, great. Yeah, so just large commercial building, bad for value. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, thanks for your time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 283 for property ID 831-0000. The property is owned by Patrick and Amy Williams. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Patrick here on behalf of the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay, good thought.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you have to, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So I'm going to have to ask one question. The purchase of this property, the assessor says it didn't appear on any multiple listings. And how was it purchased?
So, okay, so I'm not sure which one we're on right now, but the 222 West 30th and the 1921 Fee Street were purchased directly from a the seller, and both were in not great condition, but you know, I sell real estate, every once in a while I'll run across something that the numbers make sense. So with these, the rental amounts made sense, but they were in a little tougher shape. You know, I did read what they sent, and my opinion was if they went to market, then they would be discounted due to condition.
And when you say you went directly to them, did you approach them and say, do you want to sell it, or did they have some kind of listing elsewhere?
I mail letters out to areas that, you know, every once in a while I'll buy a property, just, you know, for retirement purposes. So, you know, like I said, I sell real estate, and I know that they got several letters from several people, and they sold it themselves direct to me, you know. But again, they were in tough condition. If they went to market, then they would have been either discounted for the condition, or they would have been you know, once the inspection work orders, you know, once inspection happened, then any potential buyer would probably take another run at them due to the neglected upkeep, I guess I should say.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and tell us about this property then. So the assessor is correct that this wasn't necessarily an arm's length transaction.
Yeah, I didn't know the individuals prior to meeting with them to purchase the property, you know.
Okay, got it.
It wasn't like a family member or anything like that, or even an acquaintance.
And for clarity, Patrick, I apologize. This is 222 West 30th Street we're discussing currently.
Okay, I'm with you. Yeah, and I can't recall. I looked for the file what they determined the value was, and I can't remember what it was. I don't know if you have that in front of you.
366202.
No, 380.
Okay, so that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To be honest, that one's probably closer to market value than the 1921 C Street's the one that this value is not horrible, but the 1921 C Street, I think the evaluation from the assessor is very high, you know, but this one's at least in the ballpark, I guess I should say. And the comps I pulled up were, you know, 359, you know, 325, 368, 374. So that one, to be honest, the 366 isn't horrible.
Well,
it's actually 380.
Oh, 380. Okay. Yeah, okay, then that might be a little high, because what I'm finding is 359, 369, 325, 368. And the one thing the assessor did, not to jump around too much, but...
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Hold it. The numbers you just read off are not the numbers that are attached to this unit.
Well,
okay.
Were you talking about comps? Is that what you were talking about? Because
I was talking about comps, yeah.
There's a worksheet when you pull off your appeal form, and it gives, it's a chart, and in the left-hand column you list the subject property, and then in all the other columns you list your comps, because I couldn't see in any of your comps, maybe I'm missing it, but I didn't find a sale date in any of your comps. There were no sale dates, so which makes it very hard to compare. They could have been sold 2 years ago or 1 month ago.
Right.
So if you use
when I ran comps, I went back 12 months.
Okay. So if you do any further appeals, if you use that form, there's a place on there that tells the sale date, and it makes it much easier for us to do our analysis. So.
Okay.
The comps I see associated with this one that you have in here are 302, 315, 325, and 347.
Okay, that sounds about right, yeah.
And you paid $355 for it?
Correct.
And you knew what condition it was in when you bought it?
Correct.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, yeah, this one's pretty close compared to the other two that we're going to go over.
I don't have any questions on this one either.
No.
Okay.
All right, close that hearing.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 284 for property ID 456-75000. The property address is 1921 C Street. The property is owned by Patrick and Amy Williams. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Patrick here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand again to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. So go ahead and tell us about this one.
Okay. So this one here, in my opinion, this is very similar to the last one that we spoke about. I think the square footage is very similar. This one does have an unfinished basement, and then it has partially finished attic, which is, in my opinion, storage area. And so if you look at the square footage on this one, it's really 881 square feet, which is very comparable to the last one we just spoke about, the 222 West 30th. And so my opinion is that the values should be very similar because the square footage is very similar. And the assessor's office, you know, the MLS, you know, I sell real estate, so the MLF area is 11 if you're running comps. And the assessor's office went outside of area 11, and they also jumped up in square footage. So in my opinion, they weren't comparing apples to apples when they sent their comps to me. I think this one, whatever value we determine on West 30th, I think this value should be very similar to that value. That's my opinion.
Well, it shows on here, the information you gave us, the square footage on the main floor is 1,382 and the basement is 832.
Yeah, no, the square footage on this one is...
it's something you printed off from Clark County.
Yeah, no, this one, so basically that they're counting the attic as square footage. This one here, the square footage is 881 on the main, and then the attic square footage is storage, and so the county has it combined into, you know, it's 832 for the basement, and the main square footage is 881 square feet.
And did you buy this in April of 21?
Correct.
Okay, so.
And so in my opinion, this one and the one we previously spoke about, the 222 West 30th, have very similar value.
Is this one in need of repairs or?
It was when I purchased it. I have done a few things like paint and hardwood floor refinishing, but it was pretty tough when it didn't look good when I bought it. But you know, it's had, you know, mainly paint and hardwood floor refinishing were the two things that I did to that one.
So as of 1/1/24, those things were done. The painting.
Correct.
It says you bought it in 21 for $360,000. So you think it's gone down in value?
I think the value's kind of held, but I don't think it's jumped up to. If I'm looking at the county, I don't know what they have, but I think they had it at $491,210. I don't think it's jumped up that far. It may have increased some, but it hasn't. I don't. In my opinion, it hasn't gone over four. I think it's still in the threes.
They bought it at 487. They dropped it $9,000 at this last.
Yeah, I was gonna appeal this last year, but I missed my window. So, or the year, but with the prior year to the year we're talking about now.
Okay, so you say it's about the same size as the other one then.
Correct. I mean, there is unfinished.
Because they have attic square footage.
Area. Correct. The livable square footage is very similar to the other one we just spoke about. Two bedroom, one bath. You know, 800 and what did I say here? 881 square feet. But the attic is storage and the basement storage.
It's unfinished basement, right?
Correct. So it might have a little bit more value just because it's got an unfinished basement, but you know, the living square footage is very similar.
Got it. Okay. Okay, any other questions?
I don't have
any questions on it.
Yeah, okay, close that hearing.
Thank you.
This is the February 18th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 285 for property ID 13751700. The property address is 31312 Northeast 69th Street. And the property is owned by Patrick and Amy Williams. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Patrick here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand one more time to be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead and tell us about this one.
Okay, so this one here, I ran comps on this one also, and this is a
3320 square foot home in Camas on 5 acres. I ran comps on this one. You know, I'm right on the edge of Washougal and Camas. I did Washougal and Camas. The comps I came up with were all in the high nines. There was one, I don't know if I included that or not, but there, I did find one for 1.1. That was the highest comp I could possibly find with that square footage. But everything else was in the upper nines. And if you guys said, hey, you know, you're comparing Camas to Washougal, you know, I do have the one, I do have two comps in Camas. And the one was 1.1, and then the second one was 938. Well, there's a third one for 899, and they all had very similar square footage in that, you know, 3300 range. The, you know, there were a couple that were right around 3000. So the 3300 square foot one was a 1.1. So I think they're, I think the assessor's off by, I think it should be closer to, you know, the very highest 1.1. I think that they're stretching with their assessment. The one I have is like 1.214639, but I think it might be, they might have an updated amount that you guys have that I don't have.
It's 1,272.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that one's at least off by 100. In my opinion.
The county listed or stated in their review that of the seven sales you presented, that like three of them were in Skamania County, or so I think what it said, three in Skamania County. And
yeah, I think I did. I think I did area, I'm right on the edge of area, MLS area 32 and 33. I'm right on the edge of that MLF area. So I ran areas 32 and 33.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't have any other questions either, I guess.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. I appreciate your help. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.